The 21st of December, bloody close to Christmas. Only a few days to go. What better way to spend a Saturday night in the US, wherever you are in the world? Could be another day, could be another time of day. 12 games to go through, lots of action, lots of injury news. This is the Saturday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Go and find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please subscribe. Please thumbs up. Please download. Whatever the options are, go and do them. We are part of Old Man Squad, at Old Man Squad on Twitter. 12 games, a lot. We've got, 49 minutes until lineups lock? 44 minutes if you're playing on fan tracks. I need to make some moves as well. So let's bang these games out. First game, Lakers playing at 6 p.m. Eastern. Weird. And against Sacramento, even weirder. So an early West Coast game here. So this would be, 2, 3 p.m. Pacific? 3 p.m. Pacific. So anyway, I guess it's just a Saturday afternoon in L.A., California. Not L.A. Sacramento is not in L.A. Lakers, LeBron James upgraded to probable. Anthony Davis upgraded to probable. This is going to be the case, we know. If they're healthy, not a lot of value. Max Christie, talk about him, not really playing enough. I do like his game. D'Angelo Russell, if you want to stream him in, top of the show, 12 games, going to be very hard to stream tonight. So, yeah, chances are your rosters are completely full. So be very selective with your streaming. It's probably looking at specific categories, given we're only 2 days left in the week and tomorrow there are only 3 games. So probably not a lot of streaming value tomorrow. So it's sort of it's a tough one because tonight is when there is value, but it's going to be harder given rosters are full. So D'Angelo Russell, I guess, if you want to. Dalton Connect, no. Gabe Vincent, no. So not really a lot here on this Lakers team when they're healthy. For the Kings, Sabonis has been downgraded to questionable with his back issue. His back has been sort of troubling him for the last month. So could pop up from time to time on the injury report. No indication that this is going to cost him significant time, meaningful time, anything like that. He will play. He's still a hold. He hasn't been great, but I think a very soft hold. And then Kevin Huerter, Keon Ellis, both okay, but they are just cutting into each other's value at this point. Keon Ellis, if you need steals. Kevin Huerter, if you need points, although he doesn't always get a lot of points. Miami at Orlando. Jimmy Butler is doubtful. We talked about this on the show, on the post-game show yesterday. He is unlikely to play, I think. So I would assume he is not going to play. And if that is the case, Jaime Jaquez could very well move into the starting lineup. But Drew Smith, impressive yesterday. Obviously, with a guy like this who's unproven, it's hard to know. But I still don't mind taking a flyer on him today. I added him in 2 leagues, I think, and I'll just roll him out there again tonight and see what happens. Probably a little bit more for Rozier with no Butler, so maybe he's worth a look tonight. Duncan Robinson, likewise, if you need 3s. But it's just going to be a lot of Tyler Hero, a lot of Bam Adebayo, and then bits and pieces from other guys against an Orlando team that's obviously very defensive-minded. Jalen Suggs was probable, downgraded to questionable. That's usually not a good sign, but we will see. If Suggs is out, Anthony Black would be the preferred pickup. We're rostering Badadze. We're rostering Suggs still, obviously. That's really it. It's a weird team. There should be streaming value, but there just isn't. Wendell Carter is very borderline if you need rebounds. De Silva has been better of late. So if you do, for whatever reason, have a couple of roster spots available, he might be worth a look. KCP, steals and threes, Mo Wagner. He had that 30-point game and then he did nothing in the last game. So he's very hit or miss. And Jonathan Isaac just isn't really playing enough at the moment to be anything more than a desperation stream. Memphis at Atlanta. Let me just have a look at questions very quickly. I will get to them. Let's just do a couple now. Keegan Murray, Caris LeVert, Buddy Hield, Isaac for two spots. I would probably go Keegan Murray, Caris LeVert, I think. Hield, just that Golden State rotation scares me a bit, so I probably wouldn't risk it with Hield. I don't think Suggs being out impacts Isaac too much. I think Isaac's minutes are up what they are. So I'd probably go Keegan Murray and Caris LeVert there, I think. Jay Sizzle, can you rank Brook Lopez, Yusuf Nurkic and Jalen Duren? Is none an option? I'd like to say Duren first, just because I'm clinging to faint scraps of hope that he is going to be someone that gets better. Lopez is probably the safest. Just we know exactly what he is, that which isn't much at this point in his career, but he is blocks. He does hit threes. Nurkic, if you're looking at overall appeal, he can get some assists. He's probably the best in terms of steals in that bunch. And then Duren for upside. So I think that you can make a case for all three. In a 10-team league, though, I don't think it matters too much because I don't think any of them are really must roster players in a 10-team league. Lopez would probably be the only one. Maybe Nurkic. Yeah, if you're going to drop one of them, based on what we've seen the last month, it's probably Duren. Thinking long term, I don't know, maybe it's still Duren. I don't know. It's really tough. Lopez I would only keep if you need blocks. If you're desperate for blocks, if blocks are sort of I need some, but I'm not desperate, then I would probably move on from Lopez. Okay, that's the questions so far. Memphis at all, Atlanta. Ja Morant is out with a back injury. He just can't get healthy, this guy. So with him out, Scottie Pippen will likely start and becomes a streaming target. Although, as we saw earlier in the season, unlikely to play more minutes. They are happy keeping him in that range, especially with Marcus. Well, Marcus Smart's questionable, but with Luke Kennard healthy, Laravia there, Aldama playing well, there's just no need. So I think Pippen is still worth a look if you need assists and steals tonight. But hopefully it just means Desmond Bain will do a bit more. Against this lineup, I'm just having a look at center minutes. Look, Zach Edey's probably going to just share the floor with Capella, I think. So whatever, they'll line up. And then Clark and Larry Nance, they're both sort of good individual matchups. So it's probably going to be determined by who is dictating the game. But anyway, Edie should be rostered, obviously. Brandon Clark, very borderline. For the Hawks, Trae Young is questionable with a heel. So they're calling this a heel injury. I don't know if this is related to his... let me fix this camera a bit. Related to his Achilles issue. Oh, that was the wrong way. Not sure. Let's assume he plays. He does tend to play through these things. Dyson Daniels looking for him to bounce back tonight after a couple of disappointing games. Larry Nance, intriguing. I've picked him up in two leagues for tonight. He played 30-something minutes in the last game and has looked really good when he's on the court, and there's Noah Kongwu for at least another week. So I don't mind Larry Nance as a bit of a flyer. Even if he can get 25 minutes and just split center minutes with Clint Capella, I think he is probably someone worth rostering. Utah at Brooklyn, Keontae George downgraded to doubtful, so we will assume he does not play. Usually being downgraded is not a good sign. That will just mean a lot more Colin Sexton. As we saw in that last game, Sexton went off. That was due to Jordan Clarkson being ejected. We're not counting on that again, but Keontae George not being there means Sexton will once again step into a larger role. Isaiah Collier could very well come into the starting lineup. Doesn't have a particularly fantasy-friendly game, but as a point guard who might play mid-20s in minutes, someone to consider in deeper leagues, he's probably available. And not much else there for the Jazz. For the Nets, Ben Simmons has been playing 30-plus minutes, so he should be rostered at the moment. Shake Milton had 29 minutes in the last game. Didn't look particularly great, but if he's playing close to 30 minutes a night, he's probably someone we want to look at. But we know Jalen Wilson, Keon Johnson, they're just all splitting minutes, and Nets will go with whoever is playing the best on the night. Nick Claxton, he was ejected in that last game. Who knows what we're going to get from him here. I wish they would just, trade him. He's going to be hard to trade, I think, given the way he's been playing in his contract. But we'd love to see more of De'Ron Sharpe, Noah Clowney. But as long as Claxton's there, I just don't think we will. However, if Dorian Finney-Smith misses time tonight, I think they all get bumps. So Clowney would be interesting, but we need to wait. I still don't think there's any word on... No, Suggs is a game-time decision too. So Philly at Cleveland, no Joel Embiid. Paul George downgraded. He was probable, downgraded to questionable. Interesting. Keep an eye on that one. If he doesn't play, then we get a lot more Caleb Martin. We get a lot more Gershon Yabusele. Andre Drummond is a really good stream target tonight against the size of this Cleveland team. Assuming they can stay mildly competitive, Drummond could play 30 minutes in this one. And as we know, in 30 minutes, he can be an elite source of rebounds and some defensive stuff. Kelly Oubre, keep rolling with him. He's playing very well at the moment. For the Cavs, no Max Strus. He's just out on the second night of a back-to-back, which makes Caris LeVert someone we want to look at rostering tonight. And again, if this game is close, that is probably a better thing for LeVert. If it's not, then he might only play close to 20 minutes because they'll roll out Ty Jerome and Sam Merrill, George Niang, those guys. But as per usual, not a lot of streaming appeal in Cleveland. New York at New Orleans. Josh Hart is off the injury report. He was out due to personal reasons. I'm not sure what that was, not that I looked into it. With him back, Achiuwa, McBride, very borderline. For the Pelicans, they're getting healthier. Still no Zion, still no Brandon Ingram, obviously. But other than that, I guess Alvarado, we'd consider him a regular part of the rotation. But other than that, yeah, they're pretty healthy here. So Brandon Boston is probably a drop. I think I've held him in one league. Just for steals. He and Jordan Hawkins split minutes in the last game. I still think Boston probably has slightly more upside than Hawkins, but if both of them are going to be close to 20 minutes, there's not really enough there. All the starters need to be rostered here for the Pelicans, and we hope that DeJounte can get things going. He's been a little bit underwhelming. Washington, speaking of underwhelming, Washington at Milwaukee. For the For the Wizards, Kuzma remains out. He was questionable for the last game, and then this game was just ruled out. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just left Washington and he's just traveling around, shopping himself around to other teams. I don't know. So with him out, we probably get Champagne sticking in the starting lineup. But with Brogdon back, with Keyshawn George back, with Corey Kispert back, Champagne's very borderline. We saw that in the last game. I think he will start to trend down, at least for now. And Kuzma will come back at some point, presumably. So we're rostering Brogdon, Koulibaly, Saar, Poole. Everyone else is just very meh. Valanciunas has not been playing enough to be rostered. So I don't think we need to hold him anywhere. Carrington, even when he was starting, was not really a must-roster player. George is probably the interesting one because his minutes were up before he got injured. So does he potentially come back into the starting lineup at some point? We just don't know. Very hard to predict with this Washington team. And for the Bucks, Giannis is questionable. Second night of a back-to-back, that's all. Chris Middleton is probable. Their availability is obviously going to have a big outcome on whether we look at guys like Gary Trent. Lillard is still out, so AJ Green started last night, will presumably start again. He was bad last night. If you've got him, just to preserve a roster move, I'm going to roll him out again tonight and just see if we can get something from him. Against Washington, he will likely get better looks. And if Giannis and Middleton do both miss for whatever reason, I don't think they will. Giannis is probably 50-50, but I think Middleton plays. Green could have a little bit more to do, as could Gary Trent. DeLon Wright, if you need steals, is also worth a look tonight. Okay, Golden State, just checking player news. All right, well, back to the first game very quickly. Anthony Davis and LeBron James both playing tonight. So, yeah, get them in your lineups and disregard, connect, probably D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, those guys. Do keep an eye on Anthony Davis, though. I think we talked about this in the last post-game show, that he seems to be taking a lot more mid-range shots, which is impacting his field goal percentage. And I only know this, well, I know it because I sort of have to know it, but I have him in a lot of teams where I'm punting free throws but not field goal percentage. So when he's shooting 40% on 20 shots, I notice it. Hopefully he can just play around the rim a little bit more. If Sabonis is out tonight, it could be a really good game for Anthony Davis. So just something to monitor. Warriors coming off a 51-point loss. Draymond Green is questionable. Moses Moody is questionable. But other than that, a clean injury report. Dennis Schroeder, well, I mean, they were all terrible. Except for Podziemski, he was pretty good. But the rest of them were terrible in that last game, but we're not really taking too much away from that. In this one here, if you have Schroeder, if you have Podziemski, if you have Kuminga, if you have Buddy Hield, hold them. I wouldn't be dropping them just yet. We might get to that point. But there is some uncertainty. So as I said, if you do have a Hield and he is a bench candidate, I would probably leave him on the bench tonight. The only guys I'd be starting with confidence would be Curry, Wiggins probably. Green, if he plays, he hasn't been great anyway. The rest, if you have the option or opportunity to bench them tonight, I probably would. For the Wolves, Mike Conley has looked pretty rough the last week. Hopefully he can get back to at least sort of flirting with 12-team value. I still would roster him over DiVincenzo and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. But, yeah, it's been pretty rough, as it has for Naz Reid. But I'm holding him in most situations. But another two or three poor games here from Reid, and he could also trend toward being a drop. Boston at Chicago playing again. Bulls beat the Celtics what, 2 days ago, something like that. The Celtics are relatively clean tonight, so when that's the case, there's really not much to talk about. Sam Hauser for threes. Everyone else should be rostered. For the Bulls, Josh Giddey is questionable. Any absence here usually results in Io Desumu getting a bump in value, so we just keep rostering him until further notice. Kobe White has been a little bit underwhelming, so hopefully he can have a good game tonight. Patrick Williams will probably start for whatever reason. Lonzo Watch, he was at 23 minutes and then he went back down to about 17. Let's see what they can squeeze out of him tonight. I think in 20-plus minutes, he's interesting. Under 20 minutes, probably not enough. Obviously, Josh Giddey being available or unavailable would impact what Lonzo can do tonight. If Giddey is out, we probably see a Talen Horton-Tucker cameo. We know he can put up semi-relevant numbers, but I certainly wouldn't be prioritizing him on a night with 12 games. The Clippers, as I check player news, Jimmy Butler is out. Sabonis is playing. Keontae George is out. Okay. So no Keontae George. We are getting Colin Sexton going everywhere. Isaiah Collier in deeper leagues. Sabonis is playing. So that's, I mean, good for Sabonis, good for the Kings. Will make Anthony Davis's job a little bit tougher. No Jimmy Butler, so Drew Smith, Jaime Jaquez is who we're looking at there. Okay, Clippers at Dallas for the Clippers. Usual injury report here. Chris Dunn, if you need steals, no one else really. Derek Jones, I guess Derek Jones. For the Mavericks, Luka remains out. Kyrie Irving will return. So with Irving back, Dinwiddie or Grimes will move to the bench. It's probably Dinwiddie, only because Grimes is much better at playing off the ball. Kyrie's going to have to do a lot. Klay Thompson has been playing really well over the last couple of weeks. So we'll see if he can keep it going. Dan Gafford minute watch continues as well. Down at sort of 15, 16, 17 minutes, probably a drop. If they can push him to 20, maybe a hold, but they do seem to be leaning more and more into Derek Lively, which honestly, it makes sense. But it does hurt Gafford's value. I think Dinwiddie is still borderline tonight. With Luka out, he's going to have to handle the ball a lot with the second unit. Najee Marshall also will have to do a little bit more there. So he had been playing well, has cooled off a bit, but I know that they do like him in Dallas, so they will try to get him on the floor whenever possible. Portland at San Antonio. The center rotation here is what we're having a look at. DeAndre Ayton will start. Williams Klingon will come off the bench. Based on what we saw last game, Williams and Klingon are going to be really hard to hold moving forward. The issue, though, is that if you do drop one of them, if you're holding whichever one, chances of Ayton getting injured or missing games or whatever, pretty high. I think they're probably going to try and trade Ayton. Whether they can, I don't know. Otherwise, it might be Rob Williams. I don't think Klingon gets traded here or they look to move him at all. I think it's Rob Williams or DeAndre Ayton. So I do think long-term, Klingon is probably the center that we want. Ayton could be healthy here for a month and we get 10 to 12 minutes of Klingon and Williams a night, and that is not enough. So it is a tough call that we're going to have to make. Keep rolling Kamara out there. Avdija has been decent, so I think he is probably someone to consider starting tonight. Scoot Henderson, probably not. For the Spurs, we sort of talked about this the last post-game show. This is the starting lineup that we expected coming into the season, which will mean or likely means that Champagne is a drop, Steph Castle is a drop, Keldon Johnson is a drop, at least while they're healthy. So Vassell, I would not expect him to be available anywhere. If he is, make sure that's not the case. Harrison Barnes, we don't need to roster, despite the fact that he's starting. And I think Harrison Barnes is the key here for guys like Champagne and Keldon Johnson to have any sniff at value, because Harrison Barnes is not a good player. I know they like him out there for his veteran presence, whatever. But that's the path there. If we do sort of start seeing them limit Barnes to 22 minutes, maybe there's a chance for Champagne or Johnson. Couple more questions there. We'll get to those shortly because I think there's only one more game. There is. Very good. Detroit at Phoenix. Jaden Ivey probable. He's missed the last two games. So good to see him likely back in the lineup. As I check injury reports, yep, nothing new. So with him there, Asar Thompson will probably move back to the bench. He did have that one good game, but other than that, not enough to convince me that he's a must-roster player at the moment. And Jalen Duren, I don't know, let's see what he can do. Nurkic is by no means a defensive specialist, so there's maybe an opportunity for Duren, but we said that in the last game and he failed miserably. Paul Reed, we want to watch if he can get to 20 minutes. In deeper leagues especially, he's probably someone to consider picking up. Standard leagues, not quite. And for Phoenix, Booker, we talked about this as well on the last post-game show with his groin injury. I said he probably misses a week at least, and it looks like he will miss at least the next couple of games. So with him out, we're going to get more Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen. It is exactly the same as when anyone gets injured on this team other than Nurkic. It's just more threes for Grayson Allen and more stuff for Royce O'Neal. So both of those guys, I think, could hit 30 minutes and would be worth picking up tonight. All right, let's get out of that. Let's have a look at some questions. Okay, see, question from Chad. One of the likeliest trade deadline buyers, the Thunder. What does it mean for their current rotation as far as safety beyond their main guys? Do any of Wallace, Dort, Caruso survive it? I think so. I know that they could be buyers. I know they could be looking to... I would think the only spot they would really look to bolster or add some depth to would be center. And that's sort of, I guess, assuming that Chet means they can ease him back in. They don't have to rush him back in. They have a lot of draft picks. That works in their favor because they can just trade draft picks rather than players. I think they bought Caruso in for a reason. So I don't think Caruso is going to go... Dort is just a very good fit. I know his numbers are not typically elite, but he's a very good fit for what they do and certainly has improved as a scorer. And I think they like Wallace as well. So there's guys, I think it's guys like Wiggins, Usman Jang. Like there's some good young guys there that don't play a lot at the moment. Isaiah Joe is another one, but I think they like him as well. That's having that flexibility. So I think they would try to make some upgrades without moving any of those pieces, but we'll see. All right, Steve says, last place dropped Zion. I'd be dumb to not put in a claim. Yeah, if you can, if you're sitting fairly comfortable in your standings, certainly worth a look. We don't really have an update on Zion. But we know what the upside is. So if you can, I'd definitely put in a bid. Thoughts on Jared Allen? Is he a buy low or a stay low? I don't know. I'm not that high on Jared Allen. I'm probably one of the lower people when it comes to him. I just don't think his ceiling is that high. I'm just going to bring up his game log here. And I think ultimately they would like to get Evan Mobley playing center. It's definitely not going to happen this year or anything like that. So per game, yeah, look, he's top 40 for the season, 41st. I think I've got this on 9cap. Let me just have a look. Oh, yeah, I do. So he's 41st for the season. But his averages aren't, like, to me, I don't know. Like, he averages 13 and 10 with a block. Field goal percentage is elite, 70%. So that bumps up his value and his rebounds. But outside of that, I just don't – he's a very good example of where rank, to me, doesn't reflect player value, because he is not a top 40 player in my mind. He's more of a top 80 player. And if we look over the last month, he is the 82nd ranked player, and his averages are pretty much the same, 12.5, 9.5. The blocks are down slightly, but – it just doesn't take much for him to drop. So I actually don't view him as anything more than a top 80 player in a trade, but others will. So in answer to your question, is he a buy low or a stay low? If he fits what you need, then he's probably a buy low. If you can throw out a top 80 player and get him in specific builds, he's worth it. So to clarify... by Chad here, by Survive, not losing all their minutes. Yeah. Yeah, look, it depends, as you said, if they go after a star. I don't think they'll go after a star. I think they'll go after a depth backup center. Maybe. Yeah, I just think their depth is okay already. I don't see them trying to bring in a star, but I could be wrong. Do I think that Oubre as a whole, the rest of season, since McCain is out? Yeah, I think so. I think he might be. He's been good even when McCain was there. I've always not minded Oubre's overall game. I know his percentages are a bit of an issue, but he's sort of sneaky defensively. He'll get you a steal, 1.2 steals. He's a good rebounder. He takes shots. We know he has no issue taking shots. I think he's probably top 100 rest of season. So it really depends on your expectations. He's outside the top 100 for the season, but he's averaging 13.5, 6 rebounds, 1.2 steals, 1.5 threes. Better over the last 2 weeks, last month. But McCain's not coming back, I don't think, this season. So I think Oubre is probably going to be a hold rest of season. Sell high or hold on Hartenstein. Depends what you view as a sell high. I'm holding him everywhere because I thought he was a top 50 player anyway. With Chet out, he's pretty safe for the next, 6 weeks? 22nd. So I'd be quite comfortable just holding Hartenstein. If you can move him for a top 40 player, I mean, I have no idea what his rank is because I don't really care, because I think he's just been very good doing exactly what we thought he would do. But let's have a look. Isaiah Hartenstein. So for the season, he's 61st. Last week, he's 62nd. Last 2 weeks, 78th. Last month, 66th. Yeah, look, he's for me, he's sort of a 13 and 11 player, 13 and 12, with 2.5 combined steals and blocks. He's not a big shot blocker, but he does get steals, and he can get you 3 to 4 assists a game. Free throws, feel like they should be better. He's like 70%, but that's still okay. It's pretty low volume. So, yeah, I'd be okay holding him. Oh, and I'm on the clock in the old man dynasty. Okay, I better go and make my draft pick. So they get another center. Yes, that would impact it if they were to get another center. However, I don't think they would bring in a center to take minutes off Hartenstein. It would purely be to give them an alternative to someone like a Kendrick Williams or Jalen Williams. They wouldn't need to run small ball as much. If we look at Where's the game log? Down here. So Hartenstein's minutes 34, 33, 33, 30, 29, 28, 22. That was a blowout. 30, 37. I think they'd like to keep him around 32. So, look, maybe he loses a minute or two if they were to bring in a center. But I think we've seen already that he is key to what they want to do. So I think that, I think he's relatively safe. Should I trade Hartenstein for Garland in a points league? Oh, Trey is out. Oh, that's sad. Oh, that is sad. I have him in 1,000 teams. All right. Well, it means I have to play Colin Sexton. Makes that decision very easy. Should I trade Isaiah Hartenstein for Garland in a points league? I think that's okay. Points league. Doing a rough calculation of what they get in my head. Hartenstein's probably, what, a 40-point, 35-point player? Garland's probably, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't. Maybe Hartenstein does have more value in a points league. Initial reaction is probably Garland, but maybe it is. I mean, 0 points leagues, so that's why it's always interesting for me to get points leagues questions. So what have we got Hartenstein? Yeah, 35, so that's about right. Garland, similar. Yeah, okay. I think it's okay. It's I don't think it's really a huge upgrade or a downgrade. I guess if we're thinking very, very long term, rest of season, Garland is probably a little bit safer because Hartenstein will likely take a small hit when Chet comes back. If they get another center, Garland's just locked in. And Fat Cookie Monster says Garland also has a better playoff schedule. So, yeah, I don't think you're losing anything. I think that trade in a points league is absolutely fine. All right. And that's it. I'm going to go and set my lineup. I'm going to let all of you go and set your lineups. We keep watching for... So Finney Smith is out for the Nets. So Noah Clowney. Maybe Dayron Sharpe. Keon Johnson. I don't know. Could be anyone. But... For the Hawks with no Trey. Ooh, let's just go up to the Atlanta game. All right, so now with no Trey, really good opportunity for Dyson. We know, I think that was when he had his 28-point game, was when Trey was out early in the season. So look for him to do a bit more. Look for Jalen Johnson to handle the ball a bit more. And Bogdan Bogdanovic will probably start, I would assume. DeAndre Hunter's going to have to do more. Larry Nance, maybe his floor raises slightly. So, yeah, a little bit of everyone here. Okay. Oh, so Chad just giving his opinion on that points league question. Hartenstein better short term because he has the 10-10 floor. Yeah, that's fair. Long term is murkier. With Hartenstein, with Garland, I think it's a little more secure. So, yeah, but very close, very close. Not a significant difference. All right, everyone, go and get out of here. Go and let me get the comment off the screen. Go and set those lineups as I go and cry and move Trae Young to my bench in all of my leagues. I'll be back with a post-game show. It'll be a long one, but don't have really anything on this afternoon. So should be at 4:30 my time, which will be... Anyway, as soon as the games are done, I should be here doing the post-game show. But thank you, everyone, as always, for listening, for downloading. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBIBasketball.com.